Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a November 27th edition of the MSP Initiative. MSP Talk, that means that we got one more of these before we are in March. That means we're at almost into like the end of Q1 of 2024. Like the year is moving at warp speed. So like hopefully everybody's like now all, firing on all cylinders. The year is long, but it's also short. So before you know it, we'll be in June and July and August, and it'll be summertime, and the year will get out away from you. So I digress. We're going to do some housekeeping here that we do at the beginning of all of these, and then we'll get into the good stuff. So here we go. MSPinitiative.com. This is where everything that we do is in one place. So this session, for example, is being recorded. After we're done later on, we will put this into the podcatchers and on YouTube. Feel free to follow and subscribe. We've been doing these for a long, long time, and just kind of keeping up with what's happening in the community, which is important. We have two MSP Community Mind events coming up this year, one in Nashville, one in Denver. The one in Nashville is April 17th and 18th, and the one in Denver is July 24th and 25th. We have speakers and workshops now posted, so you should be able to see our panelists who are MSPs and our workshops, which are experts from around the industry, and what they will be talking about. Check it out. We're excited for this. It's an educational event for the community. And other than getting there, it costs you absolutely nothing to register. There is no $3.99, $4.99, $9.99 registration fee. Yes, we will feed you when you're there. So definitely, if you're an MSP, register and join us. Then we have the community block parties that we're so well known for. So we have a bunch of these listed. The first one is coming up in Dallas at the end of March. We're working with the very nice people over at Enable for their Empower Dallas event. So if you happen to be going there, or you're an MSP in the greater Dallas area, definitely join us in the middle of the week for a MSP community block party. And again, if you're an MSP, it costs you absolutely nothing. You can just register and join us. Lastly, or second to last, we have some community offers. So these are just deals from other vendors around the space that you may or may not want to take advantage of. Feel free. And then our industry calendar, which our friend Jen from behind the scenes spends tirelessly trying to collate the almost 300 events for the rest of the year. And you can actually just kind of maneuver through the calendar and see what's happening depending on what you're interested in. And that is all of the housekeeping part. Again, MSPinitiative.com. And if you don't know how to spell the word initiative, just put it into Google and they'll give you the right spelling. So there we go. That is the good stuff. Now we're on to our guest for today, Connor from Titan HQ from the great country of Ireland joins us today. How are you doing today, Connor?
Hey George, look, great to be on the call with you today, and yeah, looking forward to having a good discussion.
Awesome. So Titan HQ, you guys have definitely been around for a while, right? I mean, actually, like Ireland's one of those cool tech hubs out of Europe that, seems to be always putting out some good stuff. And do you feel like that those were all the tax incentives comes from? Because we always hear about the big tech companies, headquartering in Ireland when it comes to Europe, but I digress. Give us a little bit of background first on yourself, because I think this is the first time you've been on the podcast, and then maybe a little bit about the company, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, sounds good. So I joined Titan nearly 3 years ago at this stage. I came from a payments background, actually, a head of delivery, product delivery for a payments company, and kind of saw what the guys in Titan HQ were doing. Really piqued my interest. Threw out a few feelers, had a few discussions, and then once I heard the direction that these guys are going in, I said I want to be part of that. And I think all of the best jobs are rarely advertised. So what I actually did is I just reached out to a couple of people and, said, is there anything available? And let's have a discussion. And luckily enough, had a coffee with Sean Morris, who was the CTO, but yeah, about 3.5 years ago. that led to four or five more coffees. So he wanted to get under the skin and understand my experience and what I could bring. But his vision, himself and Ronan, our CEO, their vision for where they want to take the company just had me hooked immediately. You know, as you said, we're on the west coast of Ireland here. We have a really, really good talent pool. You know, I like to think it's the talent pool, George, not the tax incentives that draws the companies. So, but I digress. Yeah, and around since 1999, so we're in the email security business for over a quarter of a century. So there are not too many companies that can say that, you know. So we've definitely stood the test of time, and we've evolved. We've grown rapidly over the last probably 2.5 years. We've almost doubled in size. So yeah, look, it's really, really positive. There's fantastic energy in the office. We also have an office over in Shelton, Connecticut. We have a couple of support people in Tampa. So, you know, we're ready to move on to the, I guess, the next phase of our journey as a company. And I think one of the key decisions that we made in recent times was to be an MSP first company. You know, we have an MSP first strategy, you know, and it permeates every single decision that we make as a company. So yeah, really, really excited about the future of Titan HQ, to be honest.
That's awesome. So you went from payments, which everybody's got to cross into that world at one point or another, right? Because everybody likes swiping those credit cards.
Exactly.
And like, you know, when you're in a, when you go from like traditional business to business, which I guess is what you were in, to more of a channel MSP focused company, it does change the way that you look at how the business works, right? I mean,
for sure.
The model is different. The structure is different. The way that the program is set up is different. It just in general, like the, you know, the way that you have to set up all of your resources, you know, change, right? So Titan has been around for a really long time. I mean, I know you guys have been concentrating in MSPs for quite some time. I don't know if it was from very day zero, but definitely over the last, I don't know, 10 years, I've seen you guys out there from an MSP standpoint. Just curious, you know, email, you know, a lot of people question, right? Like, hasn't really changed. I disagree. It constantly changes, right? I mean, I don't know if you saw Yahoo and Google and, you know, Hotmail and all those guys, like the public, I call it the public cloud, you know, email providers have all said, hey, if you're not, if you haven't implemented DMARC and the rest of the, you know, some of the two or three technologies, right? You had to go and like do all your extra, you know, records that you had to create. You know, we're just not going to accept your mail. Right. And like that was very recent, like within the last month or two. But I feel like email that, you know, the a lot of people are like, oh, email's not going to last forever. I was like, it's been around forever. And I don't see anywhere in the future where it's not going to be around. Like, I get there's other technologies, collaboration tools, chat, that kind of thing, Microsoft Teams, that kind of thing. But email's still at the heart of most business roles, I think.
Yeah, look, and I would agree with you. And I look, you can never say never. But my view would, I would share your view. I think email is around for a long, long time. It is the number one way to communicate for, you know, the large majority of companies. And from a cybersecurity perspective, I guess email security is evolving rapidly because the threats are obviously evolving rapidly too as well. So if you're not in step with what's happening from a threat perspective, you're going to be left behind. But I agree with you, George. I think, email is around for a long, long time.
So I'm actually in Orlando at Zero Trust World. Our friends here at ThreatLocker put this event on every year. And but there's some good like just industry content that's coming out of this event just about, hey, what's the state of security and just in general, right? It's not product specific. And I come so far out of this event with, hey, you know, let's keep on it. Let's make sure everybody's like keeping up with all of the different, you know, avenues that people are getting, you know, hit. But it seems like the main avenue, in my opinion, is still like social engineering and just straight up conning people. Like, I get there's all these other security products and firewalls and, you know, like all of this like application lock and security, but it's like, and I'm not saying there's not value there, but it's like the low hanging fruit is the person between the chair and the keyboard. I mean, that seems to be the number one way.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the human at the end of the keyboard is always going to be your weakest link in the chain, no matter what. You know, You know, you can put as many different, as you said, solutions and products in place to do as much as you can, but it comes down to that human interaction and that, as you said, those social engineering attempts. And people, like, I always go back to the fact that we are so busy nowadays. People are trying to juggle 5 or 6 different things at once, and that means that they're actually naturally distracted. So when that email does come in and it hasn't been detected by a system and someone clicks on it, it's, you know, we're busy, we're distracted, but we make mistakes, and that's why we're the weakest element of the whole chain, you know. That's what I see, and that's why I think, you know, solutions like security awareness solutions are just going to be so important for the future, and intelligent security awareness solutions too as well are going to be vital to protecting your users.
I mean, these are the same people that have a post-it note underneath their keyboard with their password, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But then again, there's a thought process there that it's you know, it's never the CEO that gets attacked, or it's a certain cohort within your business that's going to get attacked. But that's not the case. You know, we see that it's when you look at the attacks that happen, it is across your whole base. From, you know, your support team are usually a good ingress for a threat that people just, you know, completely forget about. It it's not just your C-suite, it is your entire business that is at risk, because we're all so busy and we're all so distracted.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there is a lot of moving parts and a lot of noise, right? So that's something. I mean, you guys have developed a lot of different technology, right? It's not just one size fits all. You know, like, for somebody that hasn't really taken a look at your portfolio of solutions, can you kind of just categorize, like, what's available?
Yeah. So yeah, look, our basis is email security with our Spam Titan product that is, you know, 25 years old. No, that was the original product. Then we moved into DNS filtering with Web Titan. We also acquired a security awareness trading company 2.5 years ago, and that's now called Safe Titan, which is, it's basically phishing simulation and security awareness training all in one bundle. We have ArcTitan, which is an email archival solution, and we've just gone live with a new ICES solution in FishTitan. You know, as we spoke earlier, email security is evolving so quickly. SEGs are obviously going to be hugely important, but an API-driven solution too as well is crucial. But I guess our journey, George, is we have had a lot of discussions with MSPs in the last, you know, 18, 24 months, and bringing those solutions into a single platform is the future for Titan HQ. Everyone that we speak to from the MSPs there, we're time poor, so make our life easier. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring multiple different solutions into one area. And we've heard that, interestingly enough, from the feedback from MSPs is, you know, if you're going to do it, guys, do it right. Interesting, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and an MSP was telling us that lots of companies try and just mash their solutions together into a platform, whereas we're going to do it from the ground up. We're going to do it from a you know, the platform is going to be the absolute core of what we build. We're not just going to have a single login between, you know, 4 or 5 different solutions. It's going to be a platform, and I think that's how we're going to win in this space.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this constantly, like tool fatigue. You know, like pre-2020, let's call it, like, security was like a very simple subsection of the overall set of systems and tools and technologies that you acquired as an MSP. And after 2020, it just exploded, and it turned into like a third of everything that you have. And like, you're right, like, time poor is a great way to say it. You know, that's the first time somebody's put it that way, but like, it's very true. These people just can't keep up with the changes and the updates and the, you know, like the notices, and like, you know, they wait for like a major thing to happen and then they pay attention because it's like, you know, noisy. But, and I love companies that popped up. They're like, hey, we're going to aggregate all your vendors in one place so that you can see everything. And it's like, oh, well, listen, whether they get it in an email update or they get it into a web page portal landing page, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just a lot of things. So like, let's say your company puts out, you know, 10 new things a year to pay attention to. It could be an adjustment to a feature, a new feature, a notice, right? And then they got 50 plus vendors. That's 500 things that they just don't have the time to even read.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's so true. And like, one of the biggest things that I'm trying to drive here in Titan HQ is, you know, every vendor likes to think that you're the most important solution to the MSP, whereas we've realized that we're probably a small percentage of the MSP stack, whether that's 5 or 10%. So we need to be able to be a solution that an MSP can use less than 5% of the time and get their job done. That's the way why I look at these things. So, you know, as I said, every vendor wants to think that they're number one, but we realize we're not. We play here. We play in this position. We're a small percentage of the MSP stack. So let's make sure we're a really good, solid solution that you don't need to take a huge amount of time working. So, and then when you follow that ethos, you try and drive and build a really efficient product.
No, I mean, also a great way to present that. That's awesome. It's like, hey, listen, this is the percentage that we affect your technology. This is how much time we think you should apply. Nobody ever really takes that into consideration. I think when it comes to the MSP vendor space, I feel like they've created such a Swiss Army knife at times that there's a lot of options. And like Microsoft's like, hey, listen, we're going to give you a default tenant when you create a new Office 365 account, but then you have to go and configure all these things, which nobody ever does. And then all of a sudden, when there's a problem, they're like, well, you never turned it on, right? And it's like, well, I didn't know the 800 things that I could have turned on until somebody actually went and spent the time, right? So to your point, the usability of the solution and the ability to implement it is often, I feel like it's put into this UI UX category at times, right? Which is not often, you know, highlighted, you know, when it comes to product development. You know, hopefully you guys are taking a lot of feedback from MSPs as you're kind of, you know, kind of building this new platform. But yeah, I agree with you, right? Like if it's not easy enough to implement, that's where a lot of technologies, like they're 6 months into, you know, buying something and it's not even deployed.
Like that's, I was just going to come to that, you know, part of the, our recent product launch with Fish Titan, I set the guys a goal of, you should be able to onboard and deploy this thing in less than 10 minutes, you know, and where that came from is we heard from our previous MSPs speaking about Spam Titan and Web Titan, which are our older products, that they're brilliant products, but they're sometimes, you know, can be tricky to deploy. So we understood that like making Fish Titan as easy to deploy as possible was going to be one of the crucial kind of foundational stones that we're going to build within the product. And I think we've achieved that because, as you said, if we're going to take up 5% of your stack, deploying the product should not take more than 5% of your time in a week or in a day. So that's the ethos that we have.
I like that. I mean, like I said, I think that's a great methodology. I wish more people actually spent the time to figure out, hey, how much do we expect these people to do? Because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, you said time for, it's just practicality, right? It's like, we can build it all, but if they're never going to go and look at it, touch it, review it, learn it, it's going to sit there and it's not going to be deployed, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I'm not sure about you, but I think there's kind of been a slight shift in the MSP world where they've kind of moved from wanting highly configurable solutions that they can fine tune to just ones that are more automated and there are less configuration and you just deploy it and it works, you know, and that's something that we want to drive is it just works, you know, because they're probably going to spend their time on other vendor solutions that are more configurable. So sometimes we see, oh, like people log into Fish Titan and go, there's not a huge amount to the UI. We're like, yes, because we've purposely made it simple. It's the back end where the magic happens. The front end is relatively simple, you know.
It's almost like the Apple, you know, effect, right? It's like, hey, I didn't give you a manual. You didn't go watch a video. You just started using it and you figured it out.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah, exactly. It is the Apple model of product development, you know?
100%. So like how, like in your role with Titan, like how close to the product development are you?
Yeah, look, I suppose head of product, look, if I think about the whole life cycle, you know, I speak to MSPs as much as I possibly can and users to start around product discovery. I have a team of product owners in as well that take those ideas from ideation into design and development and validation. Then it goes through a UX and UI flow too as well. And then it's over into development, you know, and we obviously take inputs at various stages throughout that whole process. As I said, we have a couple of MSP advisories who we reach out to on a regular basis just to have some, you know, just a general discussion on what do you think of this feature? What do you think of this UI? Is it something that you would like? What would you change? Because you can't buy that type of input. That's absolutely invaluable, you know? And I think as well, when you have an MSP community who feel involved and invested in your product development too as well, that's a really good place to be in, you know? No, not every idea is the right idea, but you're going to take and validate as much as you possibly can.
No, that I mean, I think that's where a lot of people in MSP land over the years have kind of soured, right? Especially when there are enterprise products that come downstream into the MSP sandbox. Like, it was engineered and developed for a completely different, you know, box, right? And like, they try and tweak it a little bit and square peg round hole, and then, you know, it just becomes overly complicated. So to your point, I appreciate the fact that, like, hey, we're an MSP focused company. Got it. We're taking feedback to our process to make this make sense. Got it. And then ultimately, like, hey, we've delivered on the idea that, hey, you have a lot of things to worry about. Can we make this chewable enough where you can get it out there without, you know, relearning a new language? I wish everybody took that approach. I know everybody says they do, but then you find, you know, the mileage varies.
Yeah, exactly. And like, another element of making the solution really simple is during our advisory council, actually in Orlando last year at IT Nation, we met with about 8 to 10 MSPs, and they spoke about how it's actually really hard to get talent to recruit in the MSP world right now. And so they're getting, you know, younger staff coming out of college who aren't necessarily trained, who need to use the solution immediately. There is no ramp. It's, you know, I need you to work. I need you to, from day zero, you need to start working here. So we really took that on board, and we really want to make, back to your idea of the Apple, you know, you open the box, you just use the phone. There should not be a huge amount of training and upskilling needed for our products. And that's a really important thing to us as we, especially for the platform, we need to make the platform as easy as possible to use.
Yeah, I'm going to use an American NFL reference. So sorry if it doesn't come across, but like, you, whenever somebody got drafted into the, you know, the NFL as like a quarterback, for example, you, like, they used to like sit behind on the bench for a year or two, right? Learn from the guy that is in there before they got out there. They don't do that anymore, right? They got to have to go right into the line of fire, and like, you have to produce right away. So it's kind of like that, right? To your
exactly.
point, you know, for as long as I've been in the sandbox here in MSP land, talent, bringing in new talent to the MSP and retaining talent in the MSP has been probably the top five challenges we've heard all forever. Right. Wow. And yeah, there's some staple issues that just seem to stick around no matter what the situation is. To your point, right? Like, everybody wants to get paid more. We get that. Most MSPs are dealing with sub, let's call it 100, 150 user companies. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't bigger, but I'm just generalizing in terms of the larger community. And so, like, in order to stay competitive, sometimes you do need to cycle in younger people on the front lines, because that's what the MSP can afford, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we hear all the time about pricing properly, Connor, and I love to hear Titan's opinion on, you know, how you guys, you know, handle pricing, right? Like, you know, some people, you know, ask for long-term contracts in order to maintain pricing or whatever. But bottom line is, if the MSP has to constantly raise their price, at some point, I think their end customer gets, hey, you know, like, every time I turn around, you know, like, you're nickel and diming to the point where, like, I just want to know my price and have my price. I'm not saying it can't go up, but just can't go up often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Look, don't have the details offhand here, but look, from a price perspective, look, obviously we're very competitive, but we lean heavily towards looking after our MSP cohort. So, you know, we would really look after cohort, and we have a tiered system too, as well. So that if you go over a certain number of users, you know, we really begin to look after our MSPs, and, you know, that white glove treatment is held aside for our MSP cohort, you know, so, cause we really want to look after that cohort, because we know that MSPs, you know, stay longer with our products. They deploy our products more. You know, retention is really good in that cohort. If you do what you say, and the product is good, and you support, which, you know, we've been renowned for our support over like the last 25 years. It's one of our main strengths, and that's a key thing that an MSP wants to hear, is that, can you pick up the phone and can I solve my problem really, really quickly? And we're one of those few companies who we really value the phone call. A lot of companies are, especially now with AI and chatbots, and I personally don't like that route. I think, I don't know, is it being Irish or culture or whatever, but I like picking up the phone. I like having a discussion. I like solving problems with people, and I like building relationships. And I think that's where you're going to win in the space too as well.
You're speaking my language. I was actually, not like a session or two ago, I actually brought up, I'm like, you know, people might even be willing to pay a premium to not do the chatbot, like, to be able to actually get to a person. And the more and more that, like, it started off with outsourcing, right? They're like, hey, let's find labor that costs less in other parts of the world, right? That, I think, kind of backfired in many cases. And then it turned, they brought it back, and then they started using all of this new technology, right? Like, you're saying AI, but, you know, like, machine learning, automation, whatever. You want to call it AI now? Fine. And then, like, they're trying to, like, take the human being element away from it. I argue that's just going to frustrate people, right? Like, to the point where it's like, hey, if I need help, let me just get to my answer and move on rather than having to go 3, 4, 5 layers before I can actually talk to someone. And then, to your point, right? Like, I would say price is always in the conversation, but support is right up there when it comes, you know, and ease of deployment, to your point, is right up there. But support's right up there because, like, a lot of the times, to your point, that newer, lower level person that is probably not very experienced, they're leaning on the support of the vendor in order to, like, do the day to day in a lot of cases, because maybe they haven't been trained or they haven't figured out, you know, like, the product yet, and they're troubleshooting something for the first time. So it's really critical.
Oh, it's so important, you know, to maintain those relationships too as well. And as you said, you might have a large MSP who isn't necessarily going to deploy their whole cohort in one go. They might, you know, deploy it to one customer and then ramp up over time. And having the ability to reach out to support or solutions engineering team to help you on board is absolutely crucial, you know, and whatever we can do to help that deployment for MSPs, we're going to do, you know. It's funny, as you say, the AI chatbot, I think it was it IT Nation 2 years ago, we got caught in the hurricane in Florida. And I remember, I don't know, was it Delta or someone, but I literally could not get a hold of someone to get a flight home back to Ireland. And I remember thinking, this is, I don't want to be known for this in Titan HQ. I think we want to be able to pick up the phone and solve your problems there, you know?
Yeah, I always bring it up, and I'm going to keep bringing it up until, I doubt it'll change, but one of the low budget, like, think of your Ryanair, right? The low budget airline. One of the low budget airlines here in the US, Frontier, right? And about 18 months ago, they decided that they were going to disconnect their phone number, and you cannot call them. You can only talk to them via chat or a bot. And I'm like, or the app. And I'm like, I'm out. Like, I'm sorry. If I got a big problem, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's so, basically saying I don't value your customer. We're not going to allocate people to help you with your problem. So, you know, whereas that is not a good customer experience at all.
It's like, fly at your own risk.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I don't think that that's a good idea. And, you know, as much as we keep on hearing, Connor, that the customer experience, like, tends to be something that's always hit on, right? Like, well, I said earlier, I think, if the way that the MSPs are trying to lower their costs is to adopt this automation tech, this AI tech, as an end customer, I would think that you're going to have customers that are wanting to pay more to maintain the human element. And, like, part of it is you being accessible. Part of it is, did you create, like, just like you said, the technology for the MSP needs to be simple enough to consume and adopt and deploy. The package of technology that you stack for your end customer needs to be a pleasant experience for your customer on the other side, or else, you know, they'll get to a frustration point and they'll just hit, you know, the red button.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you asked me to start the call there, but coming from payments to Titan and the MSP world, it's interesting because in my job, I don't have to just think about the MSPs. I have to think about the end user too as well. So it's like, you're almost thinking of those two cohorts going, right, well, the MSP is number one. I need to make their life easier, but I need to make the MSP's life easier for the end users. So it's that double layer, that kind of layer cake strategy, where you need to make sure every layer of the product is where it needs to be for every single user, whether that's the end user or the MSP, you know, or the sysadmin. It has to be such an easy experience for every single one of those guys.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, I, you know, obviously the phishing technology, you know, deployment is very new for you, right? But I mean, you know, phishing, and it sounds like security awareness, which, you know, are both things that are important, right? It's a compliance thing now. Like, everybody has, you know, should be doing it at least annually. At least on this side of the ocean, they're supposed to be doing at least annually, if not more frequently. So, like, those are definitely checkbox items that need to be done, I would think, for any organization. Even if you are not required to follow a compliance standard, your customer probably is. So like you just need to be able to check boxes. So I really like, you know, I assume the phishing solution is sending out, you know, like campaigns to your users to like, you know, obviously test them to make sure they didn't do the click on the wrong thing, right? And like kind of make sure that they're paying attention. And then the security awareness, you know, it's just like, hey, like you need to train your people too, right? On a regular, and like what's good and what's bad. Did I get that right?
So almost. So with Fish Titan, it's currently just doing email security. And what it does is it will pop up a warning banner within the email to let you know, okay, this is malicious, this is spam, malware, that in the moment training to say, okay, this is dangerous. The next iteration of the Titan SQ platform is phishing simulation, which is basically for all of your Fish Titan customers that are already onboarded, with the click of two buttons, you can send them a phishing campaign. So there's no re-onboarding, there's no redeployment, again, making it as easy as possible. The next stage after that is security awareness training. So to your customers who are using phishing simulation and someone does click on a link with reactive training, immediately they get a video that they need to watch for 35, 45 seconds and they're trained. So it's this, again, making it as easy as possible, but it needs to be effective. You know, an MSP needs to be able to see at the end of the month that their users are learning and they're getting educated. And I like the way you say it, compliance. And yes, it being a compliant is good for us because it means everyone wants it, but you also want a product that works and that educates your users. So that's going to be the core of what we do as well. But yeah, look, we feel that like the dangers of phishing are growing so much. Phishing detection is crucial for any email security solution right now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like I said earlier in this call, right? Like the human element is the easiest thing to hack, is the easiest thing to con. It's where people give up their credentials. It's where people send money that, you know, to somebody that they think is somebody, but it's really somebody else. Like if you actually look at any of the security incidents that happen on a regular that like a cyber policy does cover, it's actually number one of the first things that I think probably get hit on. So to that point, I don't care if you're an executive. I don't care if you're the lowest man on totem pole. I mean, you know, I especially love the, you know, hey, you need to go buy gift cards. That seems to be pretty popular over the years. It's like, you know, at some point it's like, hey, is this for real? Or are you, you know, is this, you know, somebody trying to spoof me here?
Exactly, yeah. And obviously the newest one, or the popular one at the minute, is QR codes. You know, people get a, you know, Microsoft authentication QR code, and next thing they know, they're getting their credentials harvested. So, yeah, it's amazing. We've beta Fish Titan for the last nearly 9 or 10 months now, and you could almost say every 3 months there is a new type of phishing email that's popular, and you need to build a product that can pivot really quickly to detect those. So but yeah, I would actually think every 3 months over the last 9 months we've seen a new really popular phishing campaign that's working, you know.
Well, I mean, listen, back to, you know, if you don't know, you know, you usually learn the hard way, right? You get hit.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's true. So those seem to be your newer solutions, right? The phishing protection, the security, the phishing simulation. So that's cool, right? So that's newer tech that you're at. And then you still have the traditional, like, hey, I'm going to set up my you know, front-end email security, right? And just, like, spam filtering and, like, checking to make sure that, you know, that's all legit. And then what was the other part? Was there another product that was in the middle of all that I missed? Oh,
yeah,
the DNS filter.
DNS filtering, yeah. Yeah, Web Titan DNS filtering, yeah, as well. So back to the like Spam Titan, we do see a lot of customers asking for both Spam Titan and Fish Titan and having this kind of 360 approach to, you know, a SEG plus an API-driven solution. And look, I think it's probably too early to tell in the market, is that the way forward? But we are seeing a lot of interest in that, you know. So your SEG does a lot of the heavy lifting and is that protector at the front of the door, and then your API-driven solution is a bit more sophisticated and has remediation and it has post-delivery remediation. And so, look, I think time will tell, George, whether that actually stands the test of time or whether customers will just pick one over the other, you know?
No, hey, listen, a holistic approach is important. You know, it's a category that's not going away. To be honest with you, you know, I think it's a, let's just cover the reality that this is a business, you know, tool that's being used in every realistic business. I don't think anyone can't use email. I think everybody has email, whether it's a, you know, business grade email or not, that could be different, right? But I think from a business perspective, email is being used. And like, all you're trying to do is create, again, that, you're repeating what you said, 360 approach, saying, hey, listen, let's cover this from every angle that's practical and affordable. That way we lower the risk barrier from this category. Again, to your point, making that easy, consumable, affordable, and like, will the MSP adopt the solution over a package of multiple other vendors? I mean, that's your hope, right? that's really, I think that if you can nail that story, I think you guys are in a good place.
Yeah, I do. I think so. Yeah, and it's the market will tell us, but I do think that 360 approach might win out, and you could actually include security awareness training in that 360 approach. So you've front door protection, you have in-house protection, and then you're actually protecting the people that are there as well. So because it's needed, we just spent a large part of the call talking about the human at the end of the keyboard is the weak link. So they have to be included in whatever 360 approach an MSP is going to build.
Well, the problem is that the keyboard at the end of that could not be an actual computer. It could also be a mobile device, which is pretty popular these days. If you actually, somebody looked at the stats, how many much emails opened on a Android or iOS device versus a Windows or Mac, I would say that it's probably more than 50%.
Yeah, and actually I saw a recent stat about that. It's funny you brought that up, but I do think a lot of phishing attacks actually happen via mobile apps, because it goes back to that distraction. When you're on your phone, you're probably flicking through two or three different apps at one time. An email pops in, your automatic reaction is just to open that email. And it's creating that pause and that kind of, I always think it's like a healthy paranoia. You should always kind of go, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this is dangerous. Maybe I shouldn't click on that link. But I'm probably in the minority in that way. I think a lot of people, just their default is to, I've got a new email, I'm going to open it up.
I get it. It's like, instant gratification. Oh, what's this about, right? I just think that it's not as obvious to pick up on a mobile screen as it is a regular mail client, sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's part of the challenge. Are you seeing, obviously the workforce in every industry, right? There's always newer, younger people coming into every organization. And then you have your mainstay people and maybe some of your people that are a little bit older in the chain. I'm sure there's some sort of stats that you're collecting at a global level across your platform. Is there any visibility into what's working based on the demographic of the person's, are the younger people a little bit more, more hip to these types of, angles, and are they clicking on things less versus older? Like, I don't know if there's any meaningful stats that you guys see.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess we don't have any meaningful stats offhand. I would suggest that, I think the younger cohort are a little more aware of cybersecurity and the risk, definitely. Whereas, my parents' generation are probably more susceptible to fraud, especially with the mobile phone, definitely. I think they're definitely more susceptible to it. The counter to that is that's usually the retirement age people who have a lot of time in their hands, who aren't as busy as everyone else. But yeah, if you were to ask me if I had to place a bet, I would think that the older generations are probably more susceptible, but it's almost like that generation are about to leave the workforce, and they're about to be, what's coming behind them are a more aware workforce, I think. And then I think the generation coming even further back from that are definitely aware. So I think you'll see that the threats will get more sophisticated as these generations flush through the system.
No, that's fair. I appreciate that bet. And you're probably right. That's probably a valid bet. Moving forward, where do you see the technology curve coming from the MSP's perspective, right? Like, obviously you guys are very concentrated in the category you're in, security, but what do you see as like the next thing, on the doorstep? I know that's hard to predict because security is like, I feel like every 3 to 6 months something's different and new, but do you see anything legitimately coming down the pipeline that you're like, yep, we definitely see this or that?
I think XDR is like, every time I go to IT Nation or at one of the shows, XDR seems to be this growing topic of discussion. I guess from our side, we haven't put enough time into it yet just to think about what's next for us. But I do think that's growing. I think whatever happens with this AI revolution that's coming too as well, I suspect that there's going to be a treasure trove of solutions that could be built on the back of that too as well. But you know, that is the future. I think there's no doubt about AI is here to stay, and it's just a matter of, you know, seeing what the next 18, 24 months look like, what's happening, and then building a solution around whatever threats come in that area.
That's fair. I mean, you know, I feel like AI is still really at the beginning. I mean, I know it's been advertised for about a year and a half, 2 years now, but like practically, I just don't, you know, I don't think it's 100% there yet. It's still very new. It's still being invented to some degree. But the bad guys are smart, right? I mean, like they're definitely not the bad guys of your, you know, 2000s, 2010s, right? They know how to use the same automation that we keep talking about from a technology provider standpoint on the other side. I was just looking at the solution the other day where you can like type into, you know, the GPT and it'll create a video for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like how realistic is it? I don't know. Like, but like the fact that they're even at that point means that like it's going to get more sophisticated.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I actually think if you'd ask me what trend do I think could happen is, I think, as you said, the mobile devices are the portal into the younger generation's minds. And I think that's actually where the attacks are going to surface. And it's building solutions around that area and those ecosystems with Apple and Android, and figuring out what gaps they have and what solutions can be built in there to cover those, create that 360 protection. But yeah, I think that's one trend that we will see coming, especially as you said, with AI solutions that can create, you know, ultra realistic videos. The future is great, but it's also frightening to the same extent.
I mean, yeah, back, you know, like everybody's all like talking about identity management. I mean, that's the part that's going to be tricky moving forward, I think, right? Yeah, like
exactly.
The amount of information that's online about people seems to be growing, not shrinking, especially with social media, especially with all these different platforms. And like, can you crawl the internet enough to create effectively a profile about someone so that they have enough information to validate as that person when they're really not? I mean, that's a real thing.
That is a danger. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then like, that's the personal side. As a business, leakage of information outside of the corporate, you know, structure, that's all that, I mean, that's ultimately where, that's usually the beginning tread of where an incident occurs, right? Like it usually starts way before it happens. And it starts with, you know, like as simple as, you know, I mentioned it earlier, right? It's like the person is the weakest link. That whole MGM casinos hotel thing was just somebody went on LinkedIn, they found the name of somebody that works there, they called the help desk number, and that person wasn't verified, but clearly convinced the help desk person that they were who they said they were, and then they got a password reset and they're in. Like it could be that simple.
Yeah, for sure. And like that's when you think about it, that's unintentional leakage. But I think like intentional leakage is something that companies are going to have to think about too as well, because we have the newer cohort and the newer generations aren't staying with companies long term. So there is no loyalty. There is no do they care as much about the company? So I think like intentional leakage is something as well that companies are going to have to think about too as well, because I think the days of people staying with companies for 5, 10, 15 years are no longer the norm. It's going the other way. So I think that might be another trend that might happen too as well, you know?
Yeah, 3 years, 2 years, four
probably,
years. Like,
yeah.
To your point. Yeah. And
especially
like, that's
in tech.
The thing, right? Oh, yeah. 100% in tech. It's curious though, like with all of the technologies being deployed out there, I would argue that one of the things that everybody seems to be trying to do is by not saving data on the endpoint, on the workstation as much as possible so that there isn't data to take with you.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's one way to protect. But I guess how many people adhere to that policy, George, you know, but yeah, you just got to make it, you know, compliance, and that's the only way, that's the only place you can save is in the cloud. And as you said, stop any type of local copy saving, because that's not a good place to be.
Yeah, it's just even from a SaaS part, Connor, like I was just talking to an end user today and they were like, hey, I signed up for Adobe Acrobat Pro, which is now a cloud subscription, so that I can like merge PDF documents. I'm like, okay, cool. So when they go to save their PDFs now in Adobe, it's now saving to the Adobe Cloud rather than to their documents, unless they specifically change that setting. And I'm like, how many times do you think that data is now going into places that you as the company hadn't suspected? I mean, and that's not even being saved locally, right? That's going to another SaaS solution.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess you've no idea as well what region that data has been saved into as well. I know it's for you guys in America, it's slightly different here, but in Europe, you know, you with Brexit now, you have, you know, jurisdictional and regional databases that you have to adhere to too as well. And that's another area that, you know, it's probably too early to tell what's going to happen, but, you know, people want to keep their data in safe locations. But as you said, when you have a SaaS platform, that's a global SaaS platform, you don't have the opportunity. You don't have the power to decide where your data gets saved. It's just, are you going to use my product? Yes. Well, we're going to store it where we want, you know, and that's only happened in the last, you know, 18, 24 months, but it's something we got to keep an eye on.
I mean, it's kind of scary, right? Like to your point, you know, when you have the ability to select the location, you're going to, you know, put your hand up. But if you're not even offered the option.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're not even going to be offered the option, what do you do? You know, do you pick another vendor who's going to allow you to do that?
And with the, like, and shadow IT has been talked about for a long time, but like when you're, you know, when you have a company credit card and you're the head of a department and you just go and buy something, you're not even talking to somebody, you know, in the IT department or the direct, you know, technology director, right? You just went and did something. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, nobody even realized it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I assume that's happened hundreds of thousands of times at this stage.
Yeah. So data sprawl.
Data sprawl. Right, yeah. Good way of putting it. Yeah. Really good way of putting it.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, you know, I think that's one of the challenges. Like, I feel like the MSP takes on a lot of pressure when they're trying to deliver their services to their end customers, because the organization of the end customer is probably, you know, a little bit messy in a lot of cases. And so the MSP is trying to bring some sort of structure so that they can standardize on things, but they may not even know, right? Like, yeah, like you're trying to address a problem that you may not even be able to get all of the information out of your end customer to be able to make a change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of, if the end user is bringing an MSP on board to manage their IT, well, it's probably an end user that has no clue about their data, where it's housed, you know. So whereas when it's co-managed, it might be a bit different. They have an in-situ IT department who probably know what they want already. But for those, you know, small SMBs, those, you know, garages or automobiles, or, you know, they have no clue about where their data is stored. And it's up to the MSP to get in there and get their hands dirty to understand where that wants to be.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming harder.
Yeah, for sure.
And as much cool new tech has come out, you know, I don't think anything's 100%, right? There's always going to be a gap somewhere.
Oh, yeah. There will never be a foolproof technology, I think. Yeah, I think we can be certain of that. Well, or else we're all out of business, George.
I was going to say, that's why we're all still doing what we're doing, right? Keeps us going. So where would people find out more, Connor, about, you know, the Titan portfolio, maybe how the MSP program works, or maybe to, you know, get a trial or a demo to kind of get a better understanding of what's going on?
Yeah. Look, we've just launched our new website actually on titanhq.com, and, you know, we'll have a full page on all of our products, our different, features and functionality within those products. We have our own MSP portal as well, and channel program too as well for MSPs who can delve into that and understand what we do to help out the MSP cohort. That's probably the best place to go, is to titanhq.com. And I guess for those who are listening who know Treva is in charge of our MSP channel right now. And George, I know you know Treva well. She's a rock star. So you're in good hands if you can get onto our MSP channel program, that's for sure.
100%. I mean, and so, you know, for everybody else, I know you guys do get up over to some of the US events like IT Nation you mentioned. There is some European events too. I know you'll probably be at I know there's DattoCon Dublin coming up this year. That's probably pretty easy for you guys to get to. But I know you guys are out and about, or, you know, do you know of any events where you guys will definitely be at this year?
I actually think Treva is heading over to Vegas pretty soon to
Right of
I'm not
boom,
sure.
maybe.
Right of boom. That's it. Yeah, exactly. And obviously we'll all be at IT Nation in November. That's become our yearly our yearly trip over. But no, I think Triv is going to get over to a couple of other events too as well with our sales team in Connecticut too as well. So if you see us, you know, be sure to stop by for a chat.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to jumping, you know, seeing you guys on the road. Yeah, Treva's great. If you guys have a chance to meet her, she's definitely, you know, a very fun conversation. So nothing to be lost there, only to be gained. Definitely check out TitanHQ.com. Sounds like they have a defined MSP program. They are, you know, built the channel program, so that's great. And it looks like they have a lot of cool technology that's kind of checkbox and turnkey. I think that's what everybody's looking for. Connor, it's been great chatting with you today. This session is absolutely recorded, guys. We're going to make sure it gets up on mspinitiative.com under sessions, as well as the podcatchers on all your mobile devices, and it'll be on YouTube. So, you know, we'll put it out there. Feel free to, you know, probably look up Connor as well. His last name is spelled HYNES. So, you know, you want to send him a message and ask him a question. I'm sure he'll be pretty prompt and getting back to you. If not, hit up TitanHQ.com and check out the MSP program. Connor, thanks for jumping on today. And for everyone else, catch you on the next one.
Thanks a million, George. Yeah, really enjoy that.
Cheers. You got it. Cheers, guys.